And please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1. And I want to read this morning verses 1 through 5 of Genesis, chapter 1. And we will focus our attention especially on verse 1, Genesis, chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1. And before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together again in prayer. We give thanks to you, O Lord, our God, for you have created us in all things for your own glory. You have redeemed us in Jesus Christ, your only Son. And we thank you, Father, that by your Spirit you have united us to Christ. And we pray now that by your Spirit you would open our hearts to believe what the Scripture teaches us concerning him. And we pray that by your grace you would make us doers of your word and not hearers only. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us hear the word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of God. In the evening service, we have been studying now for a few weeks the book of Leviticus, and that study has opened up a whole new world to me. It has given me a new perspective from which to read all Scripture, and it has helped me to see how the message of Scripture fits together. And it has especially given me a whole new framework for understanding the book of Genesis, and that's why I want to start a new series this morning on Genesis. I'm not sure how far we are going to get in this series, we will see, but at least we can get started. And today, I especially want to focus our attention on the opening verse of the book of Genesis, and that's Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I know that that is a well-known verse in the Bible. Most of us, if not all of us, can probably rattle it off from memory. But just because it's well-known doesn't mean that it's unnecessary to give it our sustained attention for a whole sermon. In fact, Genesis 1:1 is such a profound statement that one could preach several sermons on it, and I'm not planning to do that, but at least I want to dedicate one entire sermon to this one particular verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that statement in Genesis 1:1 lays the foundation for everything else that follows in Scripture. It's the foundation for all that follows in Holy Scripture. The whole message of Scripture, from cover to cover, is tethered to that one verse. And you can sort of sense that that's the case when you look at the last two chapters of the Bible and see that they begin by echoing Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Revelation 21 verse 1 says the following, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Now you can hear there an echo of Genesis 1:1, can't you? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And so we can say that the Bible ends where it began. It comes full circle back to the beginning. It begins with the creation of heaven and earth, and it ends with what we might call and ordinarily is called the consummation of heaven and earth. Creation brought heaven and earth into existence. That's the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the consummation will bring heaven and earth into a state of perfection. That's the end. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21:1. That's the consummation. And there is a progression in Scripture. There is a movement that advances from creation to consummation, from the original state of the world in Genesis 1:1 to the final state of the world in Revelation 21:1. Those are the two endpoints, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the alpha point and the omega point. And there's a movement in Scripture that advances from one point to the other, from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 21, verse 1. And God reveals Himself to us in Holy Scripture as the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Alpha Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He is also the Omega Consummator. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation 21:1. And so the movement in Scripture from the Alpha point of creation to the Omega point of consummation is a movement that is purposed and executed by the sovereign will of God, the Alpha and the Omega, who determines the end from the beginning. As the Alpha and the Omega, God works all things from beginning to end, from creation to consummation. God works all things according to the counsel of His sovereign will. God is the absolute sovereign ruler over all things in heaven and earth. He rules over and governs all His creatures in heaven and on earth, ordering them and purposing them and all their actions according to His will. You see, God not only brought everything in heaven and earth into existence in the beginning, He did that when He created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. He brought them into existence. But God not only brought them into existence, He upholds them and He sustains them and He orders them and governs them because He's moving them. He's moving everything in heaven and earth. He's moving them toward His predetermined end. That's the consummation. He's moving everything toward Revelation 21:1. That's the end point. That's the omega point. And that's the movement of Scripture. That's the progression of Scripture. It's a movement that advances from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 21:1. You see, whatever happens between that beginning point of creation and that end point of history, the consummation, whatever happens between those two points does not happen by chance. It happens because it has been foreordained by God and is part of His eternal plan that He is carrying out in history as it progressively unfolds from creation to consummation. God has determined the end from the beginning. Everything that happens in between those two points has been purposed by God to accomplish His predetermined end. It's all moving toward an end point. It's all moving toward Revelation 21:1 because God has ordered it to that end. God is moving it toward that end. Now, what that means in practical terms is this, and it means many, many, many things in practical terms, but one thing it means is this. You cannot understand anything that happens in history between creation and consummation, and that is everything that happens in history. You cannot understand anything that happens between those two points unless you understand it in light of God's eternal plan that is revealed to us in the pages of Holy Scripture. In other words, to put it maybe even more concretely, you cannot understand yourself, and you cannot understand the world around you, and you cannot understand anything whatsoever that happens in this world unless you interpret it through the lens of the Bible. God's special revelation, which is contained in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is absolutely necessary for interpreting His works of creation and His works of providence. We can't understand the world unless we interpret it through the Scriptures. And the Scriptures reveal God to us not only as our Creator, but also as our Consummator. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. And He determines the end from the beginning, and everything that happens between those two things happens because He has foreordained it. He has purposed it. He's governing all His creatures in heaven and earth and all their actions, ordering them, moving them toward the consummation. That is the message of Scripture. And the very, very first verse in the Bible lays the foundation for that message. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that's really a profound statement. It's a profound statement because it tells us that God is the absolute sovereign creator and ruler and consummator of all things in heaven and earth. Genesis 1:1 lays the foundation on which everything else in the Bible is built. The whole message of Scripture, from cover to cover, is tethered to that one verse. Now, I want you to notice that in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to notice that that verse makes an absolute distinction between the Creator and the creature. The Creator on the one hand and the creature on the other. God is the Creator. God alone is the Creator. And there is only one God, one true God. And He alone is the Creator. And everything else in heaven and earth, including heaven and earth, is the creature. And that distinction, that creator-creature distinction introduced at the very beginning in Genesis 1:1, is the foundation and basis of all true religion. And there is only one true religion, and that's the Christian religion. But there are many, many, many false religions in the world. But all false religions have something in common. They all have this in common. They worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. That's what the sin of Adam and Eve was all about. That was at the heart of Adam and Eve's sin, wasn't it? They put themselves in the place of God. They refused to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. They wanted to exalt themselves to the position of God. And that's exactly what the serpent said to them, isn't it? You will be like God. Eat this fruit. You will be like God. That's what they wanted, to put themselves in the position of God. And so they rejected, you see, this is the root of the first sin, and it's the root of all sin, and it's the root of all false religions. They rejected that absolute distinction between the Creator and the creature that you see in the opening words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Adam and Eve rejected that absolute distinction, and they plunged themselves and all humanity with them into idolatry. Now, isn't that what Paul is arguing in Romans chapter 1? They worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And so the Christian religion, the true religion, is built on that absolute distinction between the Creator and the creature. God is God, and we are not. And no creature in heaven or on earth should receive the glory and honor that is due to God alone. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth and all that is in them are the work of His hands. Everything belongs to Him. He created it. They belong to Him. They are His. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. The world and all that who dwell therein, for He has founded it. He founded it. He created it. So it belongs to Him. It is His. Psalm 95 says, "In His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land." It's all His. It all belongs to Him, and He made it for Himself. He made it for His own glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. That's why God made us and all things. He made us and all things for his own glory. But we also need to understand that God did not make us to glorify himself because there was something deficient about his glory without us. God, you see, does not depend on anything outside of himself for any reason or for anything whatsoever. He is absolutely independent and self-sufficient. He has all life and glory. He has all goodness and blessedness in and of himself and is in no way dependent on the creature for anything whatsoever. And to say that God depends on something outside of himself, to say that he depends on the creature in any way, is to make him just like the creature. It would destroy the distinction between the creator and the creature, which is a false religion. It's idolatry. Now, the book of Acts tells us that when the Apostle Paul was in the city of Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the whole city was given over to idolatry. And when the Athenians, who heard Paul preaching in the marketplace, grabbed him and took him to the Areopagus in order to hear him out, whenever they brought him there, Paul said to them, in Acts chapter 17, 22, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." Now notice what Paul says here. "For God, who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth." Do you see that reference to Genesis 1:1? God, who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, because he made it. He's Lord of it. He's the sovereign king and ruler over it. "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor," and listen to this, "nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." You see, God's not like us. God's not like the creature. He doesn't need anything. He is absolutely independent. He is absolutely self-sufficient. He depends on nothing outside of himself for anything whatsoever. He is alone in and unto himself all-sufficient, as the Westminster Confession says, and he does not stand in need of any of the creatures that he has made. But everything else, all of his creatures, everything else in heaven and earth, including heaven and earth, everything else absolutely depends on him for all things. Not only for being brought into existence in the beginning, but being sustained by him, upheld by him, and governed by him. We depend on him for all things. Now, part of maintaining that absolute distinction between the creator on the one hand and the creature on the other, which, as we have seen, is the basis and foundation of all true religion, is maintaining the absolute independence of God. God needs nothing outside of himself for any reason. Now, there's something else that we should notice in Genesis 1:1, and that's the eternality of God. God is eternal. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is eternal. He's without beginning. He himself is without beginning. He's without end. And more than that, in him there is no succession of moments in time, past, present, or future. He is, as he puts it elsewhere himself in Scripture, the I am. God is not limited by time. He's not in time. He created time. He's the Lord of time. He's over time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before God created the heavens and the earth, He was. He existed. And He's the source and giver of life. And He has all life in and of Himself. He is self-existent. He is uncreated. Psalm 92 says this, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world." That's Genesis 1:1, isn't it? "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." He's the everlasting God, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And He is exalted above all limitation of time and all succession of time. And no creature in all creation, no creature is eternal. Everything in creation, in heaven and on earth, including heaven and earth, is temporary. It's temporal, and at one time did not exist. The angels in heaven are not eternal. And the place we call heaven is not eternal. Now, that may surprise you, because a lot of people think that it is. They think heaven's eternal. It's not eternal. It's part of God's creation. It was created in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. That's not the visible heaven we call the sky or the firmament. That's not created until verses 6 through 8 of chapter 1. This is the invisible heaven. This is the realm of the angels. It's that heaven that was created in Genesis 1:1. And that heaven, you see, is created. It is not eternal. There is no eternal entity but God and God alone. Everything else is created and at one point did not exist. Now, the question, of course, that folks may raise is, well, where did God live before He created heaven? I'm sure you may have heard that one before. I've heard it at least 7 times. 7 kids. Where did He live? Well, where do you think He lived? Do you think that heaven now, which is a created realm, can contain Him? No. Isn't that what God says? Isn't that what God says in Holy Scripture? Heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. He is not in any way limited by space at all. And cannot be contained by the heaven or the earth, the universe that He has created. God didn't need a place to live. He's everywhere. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. Heaven and earth can't contain Him, and He's not confined to space. In the beginning, however, God created heaven and earth, and He created heaven and earth to be a cosmic palace for Himself, as it were, in which to dwell. Not that it can contain Him, but that's what He created it for. He created for Himself a cosmic palace, a cosmic temple. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, He says in Isaiah. God created this relation God created this world in order to relate to this world and to the creatures in this world, to be with them and to be their God. God created us for Himself, to have fellowship with Him and communion with Him. And when He created heaven, He filled heaven with His glory. And when He created earth, He created a special place on earth, Genesis will go on to tell us, where He manifested His glory, and that's the Garden of Eden. And that's where God put man. Why did God put him there? Because man was created to have a relation with God. He was created to have fellowship with God, in the presence of God, which dwelt in a unique, a special way in the Garden of Eden. But that original place where God put man was never meant to be His permanent dwelling. He was meant to advance beyond that earthly place, as glorious as it was. He was meant to advance beyond it, if you can imagine advancing beyond it to a higher state, into the realm of glory, into the realm of heaven itself. And when would that happen? That would happen at the consummation. That would happen at the end. And that will happen at the end. And God has ordered everything in this world to move us toward that end. And He will, in fact, achieve that end. And He has achieved it in Jesus Christ. The fall, you see, did not hinder God's plan. The fall of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 did not catch God by surprise. I didn't see that one coming. What am I going to do? Everything that happens between creation, Genesis 1:1, and consummation, Revelation 21:1, everything is purposed by God and ordered by Him to move toward this predetermined end, which He determined from the beginning. Everything, including the fall of Satan, including the fall of man, and including the redemptive work of Christ. Christ came to redeem us, but Christ came to redeem us to what end? To bring about the consummation in Revelation 21:1. That, my friends, you see, is how Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, lays the foundation for the message of Scripture as a whole. Everything else in the Bible is built on that verse.